taught throughout the Word of God. I mentioned it Wednesday night. And this morning we're going to talk about it a little bit more in detail. And if you're a man here this morning, or a young person, or a teenager, I'm going to talk about how to be a success. How to be a success. And your job and your desire ought to be that anything you do, you ought to be good at it and be a success at it. Amen. If you're a worker, it ought to be your desire to improve and better yourself in your line of work. Amen. If you're a singer, you ought to be want to be a better singer. We should never be content just say, oh well, I'll just sort of float along. All of us should want to do better in whatever we do. Christian life, preaching, I ought to try to be. I ought never get to the point where I think, well, okay, my preaching's all right. I should never do that. I should always strive to be a success in whatever we do. That's not anti-scriptural, it is scriptural. Joshua chapter 1, and look at verse number 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I'm ringing just a tad, Brother Mike. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Being successful. I'm going to preach about how to be a success this morning. Now, the reason you don't hear preachers like me say a lot about this is because there's so many preachers on TV that make that their whole ministry, and that's all they talk about, is being successful. It almost is nauseating to turn on the TV and hear preachers, and all they talk about is, you can give me $10,000, the Lord give you $100,000, give me that, and and more money. Now, but they go overboard with it, so sometimes we shy away from it. It's just like healing, as I mentioned the other night. Some churches go overboard on the doctrine of healing, and so it makes sometimes Bible believers shy away from it because we don't want people to think we're nuts like they are. God does heal, right? The Lord can heal, He does heal, and He does miraculously heal. He still can do anything. So the right thing on all these kind of issues is balance, and it's what the Bible teaches. The Bible does teach that if you'll work hard and be honest and treat people right, you can be a success. Not many people get to become a success on their own being crooked. And I'll talk more about that just a little bit this morning, and I want to say a few things about it. Sometimes we shy away from this because we associate in being having a lot of money with being wicked and being in poverty with being good, and that's not biblical either. Because of the rich man and Lazarus story, we just assume that rich man was wicked and Lazarus was good because he was rich and he was poor. That's not true either. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were rich men. They were wealthy and they had a lot of money. Abraham, for example. Job was the richest man in the country in his day, and he was a perfect man. That means, he don't mean he was sinless. It means his heart was perfect with God. And he sinned, he neither charged God foolishly and sinned not. So Job was a rich man. Solomon was a rich man. God had blessed Solomon. He could have hired Bill Gates to mow his grass. That's what Solomon, I mean, gold in the temple there. And old Bill Gates is one of the most successful, I think he's at the top of the Forbes list now this year of the richest man in the world, although he had a loss of like $14 billion last year, but he still gained a lot. He's a rich man. Started way back there in the 90s, and he did the right thing at the right time with that Microsoft and all that software. Almost every computer in the world runs off of an engine thought up and designed by Bill Gates. And I'm going to tell you about that a little bit this morning and hope that you can do it. Let me say another thing they talk about on TV, and this is wrong. You hear these preachers on TV talking about breaking the back of poverty. Have you heard them talk about that? And the curse of poverty that's on. Well, there's no such thing as that in the Bible. I've read the Bible a bunch of times, and I can assure you there's nothing in the Bible that says people are cursed to be poor. I know people who think that. You get that mentality. You think, Mom and Daddy never did have nothing. Their mom and daddy never did have nothing, so I'm probably never going to have nothing. Mom and daddy couldn't pay their bills, and grandpa couldn't pay his bills, so I'm probably can't. That's a mentality you get. I've known people. I know a man right now, his wife, every time something come up, all she could say was, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. It didn't matter what she said, we can't afford it. You don't go by McDonald's, that can't afford it. You don't get it? Can't afford it. It was like a tape recorder. We can't afford it. Now, I know what it feels like to can't afford something. I have been broke. But I'm going to tell you something. You do not have to live that way. It is not God's will for you to starve to death. It is not God's... There's nowhere in the Bible where it says God wants you to be poor. Now, you say, Lord, have mercy, I can't believe this is coming out of Danny Castle's mouth. But I'm trying to help you to get a balance on what the Bible says about being a success. Being a success don't necessarily mean money. Because some of the richest people that's ever lived committed suicide and lived miserable lives. I'm going to tell you what a real success is today, if you'll listen. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we get it backwards. But let me just say, Joshua said, you'll have good success. As far as your money goes, some man said this. He said, here, you know, some people can't hold on to money. You ever met anybody like this? I met people that when they get their hands on money, they go, they think it's on fire. They run to Walmart 90 miles an hour. They're going to spend it. They got holes in their pocket. It goes in, goes out, goes in. And I see a lot of you punching your wife right now. I don't know. I know people, when they get their income tax back, they live like rich people for about a day and a half, don't you? And that's exactly why they ain't got nothing. You'll never get anywhere spending. You know what my daddy used to say? Daddy used to say, he said, if you go somewhere, you'll spend money. He said, the only way you can save your money is stay home. That's the truth, isn't it? I mean, you stop flea market. It's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. You spent $25 or $30 before you leave. There's people who they can't have. Here's some good advice. You take care of the cents, and the dollars will take care of themselves. You take care of the cents, and the dollars will take care of themselves. That means be careful about just going here, and a little bit here, and a little bit here, and a little bit here. And I can get this vacuum cleaner, and it's only $150 a month. And I saved $400 on it. And I bought this, and I bought a set of tires because they was on sale at Sears. And I saved $300 on that set of tires. And I bought this refrigerator because Sears had them on sale. And I saved $300. You ain't saving, honey. You said, well, I saved it. No, I'll tell you how you... Listen, I don't understand how you can give $700 for a refrigerator and say, I saved money. Yeah. Something ain't right with that kind of thinking. They make you think you're getting a deal. You're saving money. I'm spending money, man. What you talking about? Now, if you have to have a refrigerator, this ain't in my message, but just because your air is low in your car tire don't mean you have to have a new car. I know people that the battery's dead one Sunday, and they say, get a new one. There is such a thing as fixing something. You can get a new car, a battery put in your car. Now, if you can afford it, go buy you a new one. But I'm going to tell you how to be a success this morning, okay? All right. The Bible said this. Let me turn to Psalm 1. Let's open the Bible to Psalm 1 just a second this morning. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm 1, great scripture here. Psalm 1, the Bible said, look at verse 2 and 3. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. First Psalm, look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree, listen, planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen? It's not God's plan for you to be starving and not have nothing. God wants you to work hard and do better for yourself and make a little extra money and then do better and buy your kids some clothes and be good to your family and support missionaries and do something for God. It is not right for you to go around crying all the time because you broke. God said, whatever he does will prosper. Some of the greatest men in history were businessmen who put God first, You know Mary Kay? Y'all heard of Mary Kay? Man, I don't think it's her full name. She's got one more. But old Mary Kay, man, she's got rich. And you know what she said? Let me tell you what Mary Kay said. She said, I like to work longer hours. But she said it, but if you lose your husband or family in the process, you're doing it the wrong way. She said, it's no fun counting your money by yourself. Mary Kay said, I work long hours, I'm getting rich, but if I lose my husband and my family doing it, then it ain't doing me no good. It ain't so fun to sit at home and count your money by yourself. She said, keep your family together. And her philosophy is this. She said, God first, family second, and your business third. That's a good philosophy. God first, God's house, God's tithe, God submit. Submitting your life to the Lord, doing right, that's first. Your family is second. Your kids, you don't take God's money and buy your kids school clothes with it. You don't take God, you put God first, you put your family second, you put your business third, and Mary Kay said, work harder than everybody else, apply yourself, and you will succeed. I'm not saying you'll be a millionaire. I'm never going to be a millionaire. I don't want to be. I mean, God take care of me, and I'm not knocking you if you do. I hope you do. I hope everybody in here 5 years from now is doing better than you are. I sort of doubt it. But I hope you are. I hope you do better. I hope you do better for yourself. But I'm telling you this morning, if you'll put God first, God first, God first. Listen, I've been down where I didn't have no money, and I took my tithes out every time, and I stuck them in that offering plate, and I said, God, if you're big enough to make the heaven, you're big enough to make the world, you're big enough to bless my money and help me make my shoes last longer, make my car do better, I'm telling you on the authority of this book, if you'll put God first, God will take care of you, and you'll even prosper if you'll honor God and put Him first. Amen. 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 Let me tell you something this morning. Abraham Lincoln. Let me read you a little bit about Abraham Lincoln. Some statistics. All we remember is he is president. Do you know how much... Let me give you a little history of Abraham Lincoln's life. In 1831, he started a business and it failed. In 1832, he was defeated for the legislature. Didn't get voted in. In 1833, he started another business and it failed. In 1834, he was finally elected to the legislature. In 1835, his sweetheart, love of his life, died. In 1836, had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for House Speaker. In 1840, he was defeated for the elector. In 1843, he was defeated running for Congress. In 1846, he was elected to Congress. In 1848, he was defeated for Congress. In 1855, he was defeated for Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for Vice President. In 1858, he was defeated for the Senate. In 1860, he was elected President. You know what that old boy did? They knocked him down, he got back up. They knocked him down, he got back up. Let me tell you the secret of success. Let me give you the secret of success. Here's the way you have a success. The formula for success, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a pastor, somebody asked me, they said, Brother Danny, a preacher called me last night. He said, churches are falling off everywhere. Preachers are quitting having me. He said, how come? He said, you started two churches and they're both doing good. How do you know? I said, here's your answer. You know what the answer is? You pray, you get right with God. He said, simply put, you put the right people on the right jobs and then you get on the sideline and cheer them on. You put the right people in the right jobs, in the right spots, and you'll build a business, and you cheer them on. You've got to have the right people around you. That's why Moses had Joshua. Paul had Silas. He had Timothy. Don't surround yourself with people that are always failing, and everything they touch, I have friends, and you have friends. And every time I see them, they're that close to getting rich. Every time I see them, well, it's going to work this time, Brother Danny. I'll tell you one thing. It's going to break through. And all that. You know, that messes with my head, because every time I see them, they're broker than they was last time, but they're just about there. They're just about there. You know what I want to say? Get you a real job. Work from 7 in the morning till 3 in the evening. And get your... They say, but I can work here and I can make $500 in one day. And yet you go 6 weeks while it's raining and not make a dime. I mean, just get your regular job and work hard at it and then build up. Find something you can do and then build up and then build up and then build up. Don't be happy to say, oh, well, I guess the Lord wants me to be. Listen, the Lord don't want you to be lazy. He wants you to get on the ball, amen, and move for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what I think is a success. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what? I've kept my eyes open. I ain't the smartest person in the world. I ain't stupid neither. And I'm going to tell you something. I've watched people. And you younger people, listen to me for a second. I've been around long enough to watch people. And I have been to New York City. And it's something to see. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It'll absolutely blow your mind. And I watch people. I've been there a bunch of times. And I've been there, I don't know, maybe five times, something, and I watch people, and these guys are down there with these briefcases and these suits on, and they're like this, standing there waiting on the light to change, and then they're rushing across the street like this, and they go up in them corporate offices and say, can you accept this? My boss man wants you to buy this, and can we make this deal, and everything. And then they rush, and they drive 2 hours in traffic home, and it ain't as far as from here to the hospital up there, two miles, and it takes them 2 hours, and then back 2 hours the next morning for 2 miles, and then they ride that rat race all day, breathe that pollution. I mean, pay $2,000 to rent an apartment every month, and I'm trying to make it rich. And you might get rich, you might have a lot of money like that. I'm telling you, they don't look happy to me. You know why movie stars commit suicide? There's something missing in their life. Tell you what I've seen. I've preached in Spruce Pine and Burnsville. I've also been out there in Hollywood and see. I just watch people. And I do that. I watch people. Because I think my life's going to have to go one way or the other. What am I going to do with my life? And I've seen them. I know people up in Spruce Pine that the daddy's about 42 or 3 years old. His wife's just sweet and pretty. They were high school sweethearts. And they got 3 or 4 little kids about that high. Oldest one's just starting college. The Sunday come in there on Sunday evening. The air is clear. Their water is comes out of their spigots, what they sell in the store out there. They got money in the bank. They can eat a steak that thick every Sunday if that's what they want. The man in New York can only eat one. Now, you can only eat a so thick steak. I mean, the people in Spruce Pine can eat a steak that thick. They can eat lobster. They can eat. They got money in the bank. All their house is paid for. Their cars are paid for. And they sit out on the porch on Sunday afternoon, and the kids playing, and all of them saved. And they take a break on Sunday and talk about the week ahead, and they laugh and cut up and kiss each other goodnight. And the big old road, I mean, Lord have mercy. And I look at that guy, and I look at the guy in New York, and I think, now, he's got anything that guy wants. Right? I mean, if he wants to go on vacation, he's got the money to do it. If he wants to eat a steak that thick, he's got the money to do it. There's a success. A success is somebody that's happy with what they have. Amen? The man who's a success in life is a man that says, God's been good to me, and I'm happy about it. I mean, not be satisfied, but happy about it. I'm telling you this morning, that's what the Bible teaches. We ought to be. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Them TV preachers make you think if you're not making a lot of money, you're not right with God. I tell that to them people over in Sudan that's starving to death and giving their life for the Lord, martyrs and stuff. That don't mean you're not right with God. But I'm saying if you want to do better, you can do better. Amen? That's right. You know, now, let me show you another one. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 says this. Quickly, this morning. Look at Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Psalm 119:9. Look at this, talking about success. You want to have a success in your business? Go by the Bible. Psalm 119:9 said this. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Get your life right. Look at verse number... 100. Look at verse 100. I believe it is. I understood more than the ancients because I kept thy precepts. You will excel in wisdom and understanding. Did you know if you'll honor God and put Him first, you'll have a success mentally. I know people that wasn't naturally gifted, all that smart, but they stayed with God and lived right and went to church, and the Lord gave them some sense. I know some old country boys. I know some preachers that never even went to high school. And I'm not advocating that. Everybody should get a good education. But I know some preachers that couldn't even read when they got saved. And them some of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. They look at things right. They have the right approach. They can tell you what's going on in this world. There's something about living for God that the Lord will give you wisdom above your naturally having edge on everybody else. I don't know if you know that or not. I'll just give you some examples. I could give you a bunch of these. But I remember years ago when we were going to build one of the buildings up in Marion, I had to go meet with the planning board. And I met with the planning board and the mayor, city council, and a bunch of them was in there. And I said, they said, "Now, Danny, what do you want to do?" I told them, I said, "I want to build this building right here." And boy, they started on me. I mean, the devil started working just like that. One of them said, "There's too much traffic down that street already. We don't need all that." I smoothed that over. They said, "There's also zoning ordinances, and you don't have enough parking." And I said, "Yeah, we're going to make one here, and we're going to make one there, and we're going to make one here. And finally, they said, "We're going to meet next week." We went all up there, and we all sat down to meet. And you know what they told me? They said, "You can't do it." A whole big table, a big round table of big shots and me. And they said, "I'm sorry, you can only have 500 seats. I said, "What about 1,200? They said, "Nope, 500. I said, how you get that? And they're pews. They ain't seats. And I said, "How you figure that?" And I said, Lord help me. And they said, "Well, a pew company sells pews. They figure 18 inches per person. 18 inches per person, that's a seat. So this church would have how many seats, 18 inches per person." I said, "Look, sir." I said, "Let's change the definition of a seat." I said, "What if we made it 24? I said, "Look here, little as I am, little old guy like me, you know that's 24 inches. I can't sit like this every single service. I take up more than 18 inches. And I know some people that, and you know what they done? One of the city councilmen went and got a tape measure. That guy got a tape measure and he's sitting there down and he said, and I was sitting there thinking, "Help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord." And I said, "We can put these pews in here, but we ain't going to figure no 18 inches seat. Now, that ain't right." I said, "Come on, at least 24. And they said, "Well, he's right, really. I mean, ain't many people sit so. They figure a little kid might take up 18 and an adult might take up 30 or whatever." And I said, "Let's just figure 24. Come on." And you know what? They let us do that, and it added like 200 and something seats. And anyway, we put it 999 so we wouldn't have to put in a big sprinkler system and a bunch of stuff like that, you know. And, you know, we got by. You know where that comes from? You know where that comes from? That comes from redneck West Virginia common sense. No, that comes from the Lord. Stuff like that comes from God. If you want to be a success, if you'll think and pray and be led by the Spirit, God will give you wisdom on your job, how to make business. I've made decisions before. This is no lie. I had no idea what I was doing. I said, "Let's do this." And come to find out, it turned into something great. And they said, "Man, how'd you know how to do that?" I said, some got it, some ain't. No, really, I'm telling you, I had no idea what I was doing. And the Lord put that in your heart. You know how to be a success? I'll tell you how to be a success. Don't fill your mind with the garbage of this world. Meditate in thy word day and night. And that book said, whatever you do will prosper. You can't stop a man that if God's on his side. Amen? You can't stop a church if God's on their side. Yeah, let God be true and every man a liar. If the Lord, you get the Lord in your home. Get the Lord in your marriage, people. You can't bust up a marriage if God is in that thing like he's supposed to be. Be a success in your home. Be a success in your business. Be a success in everything you do. Your success will be obvious to others. People will see and they'll take notice that God's blessing you. You ever see anybody, you just think, man, the Lord just blesses them. Why is that? Does God like one person more than He likes another person? Does God, is He a respectful person? No. I am not saying that you'll never get sick and you'll never have no problems, you'll always get rich if you live right. I ain't saying that. I'm saying if you'll apply yourself and do right and treat people right and be honest and tithe and give God what's His and treat you right, you'll try hard and work harder at it than everybody else. God will bless whatever you're doing. You might say, well, I want to be the best housewife that a woman can be. God will bless you and you'll be a success if you'll give yourself to it. You say, I want to be the best mother to my kids that I can possibly be. Apply yourself, man. Try harder. Try harder. Get you some tapes. Get you some videos. Get you some books. Whatever you're trying to do, learn up on it. Study. Pray. Ask God, help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better wife. Help. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm cursed. I ain't meant for me to be happy. Listen, try harder. The Bible said, thou shalt have good success. Even out there in the world, this truth is very known and very evident. Said these two caterpillars were sitting around one time. Two caterpillars talking. About that time, two big butterflies flew by, real beautiful. And one of them said, whew, you'll never get me up in one of them things. And you know what? That's what they can become. And we got a lot of caterpillar Christians. You just think, well, I'm a sinner and I'm going to stay a sinner and I'm going to live wicked all my life and I'm going to mess up and get drunk about once a month and that's just meant for me to be. No, it ain't. You're meant to fly and fly for God. Amen. You're meant to fly. Here's a secret for you. If you succeed in anything without suffering, somebody suffered before you. In other words, if you got a lot and didn't do nothing to get it, you got it from your parents or somebody or illegally. If you succeed without suffering, somebody suffered before you. If you suffer without succeeding, somebody will get it after you. That means if I work hard all my life and I don't ever get none of that, my kids or grandkids will get something. If I suffer and I don't succeed in this life, thank God somebody will get to use it for the glory of God. Y'all listen to me? If you succeed without suffering, somebody done it before you got here. If you suffer without succeeding, somebody will get it after you're gone. I'm going to say this and I'm done. You know, the world even says this. You got to spend money to make money. Everybody knows that. You've heard that all your life. You got to spend money to make money. You got. I remember in school, I didn't have no money. I spent my lunch money, bloated on something, didn't have no money. You know what I found out I could do? I could outshoot anybody in the school in basketball. And I'd stand there in the corner, and them, this is awful. Don't, I'm not telling you to do this because I wasn't saved. They'd come in there at lunchtime, and I'd say, shoot you for a quarter. Bang, get me a quarter. Shoot you 50 cents. I'd build me up $8 or $10. That ain't right. Don't do that. That sounds like something Brother Derek would tell you to do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not saying do that. But I thought, you dumb enough to give me your money, I'll take it. And you know what you call that? An entrepreneur. That's a good name for it, ain't it? But you know what I thought? I thought, I ain't going to sit around broke. I'm going to buy something for $3 and shine it and sell it for $5. Like these shoes I got on. I'm going to buy and I'll buy a car for $100 and get some stuff, put some armor all on it, brother. You can make it. I mean, shine it, buy it for $100 and sell it for $150. But you got to get somewhere. You got, and the same way is about in church. You know how God, the world says you have to spend money to make money. If you want to be a success, never hesitate to invest in a good cause. You know what a good cause is? Souls. Never hesitate to invest in a good cause. I don't understand God's people. I don't understand it. I can get up here and we can say, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. All those scriptures in the Bible, we know that's true. We know that's true. And boy, when we pass them off and place around it, dollar. Follow them. Dollar. You know how you're getting dollar blessings? Because you're giving dollar offerings. Listen, I'm not saying you buy blessings. I'm just saying the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches. Give and it shall be given unto you. I'm not bragging, but I've signed my paycheck before and put it back in the offering. I've done that more than one time, a bunch of times. You say, why'd you do that? Because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. I've got a Christmas bonus or birthday gift. Sign it. Put it back in the offering plate. You know why? And you know what? It ain't long till something good happens. Every single time. That ain't why you do it. That ain't why you do it. I'm not a TV preacher. They say, send me a blessing and God will automatically. That ain't why you do it. You don't give so you can get. You give because you believe in God and His work and those buses and you keep them rolling. And then God blesses you. It may not be monetarily. It may just... You know what? Blessings don't always come in money. Blessings might come in health. Blessings might come in just feeling good. I woke up this morning glad it was Sunday. I woke up this morning feeling good in my soul. I woke up this morning saying, woo! Y'all got my text I sent you girls? I sent every one of them text saying, good day, good to be saved. Let's go to church. Let's honor God. You know what? That might be a blessing of me going down there to that revival this weekend and giving my time and doing that. They didn't hardly have no money to give me. Who cares? That don't matter. I'm just thankful that I'm healthy and able to go and God pours out His blessings. I'm a success because God blessed me. Amen. Never hesitate to invest in a good cause. Let me tell you what old one of them rich people said, them Rothschilds and people like that. Them people are crazy, but they got business sense. And let me tell you what they say. Businessman, listen up. Be an offhand man. Make a bargain at once. And don't fool with unlucky people. People that's always failing in everything they do. Don't fool with them. If you want good business, be an offhand man. If you see a bargain, get it. If you take too much time to think about it, somebody will beat you to it. Stick your neck out. Take a chance once in a while. Amen? Some of you men are saying amen. You want to say, Don, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. You'll never get nowhere till you're willing to stick your neck out. I better shut up. You better shut up. I'll get the blame for y'all getting buying stuff and can't pay for it. But it's true. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to do something this morning that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. I wasn't going to do it. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spoil a good service. And all morning it got on my heart. You know, we're having a camp meeting in 4 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, camp meeting, 4 weeks, I believe, 3 and a half. And